Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus show Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
This episode, we're covering Season 1, Episode 3, Dead End Job, written by Emma Moran and directed by Toby McDonald.
And as far as announcements go, we have an announcement with regard to the format of the podcast. we have noticed that this doesn't necessarily lend itself to a points-based one like Podcastica has been doing. So we're just going to talk about what we fucking want to, and it's going to be glorious.
I am very excited about this new plan.
Yeah, it's because we were trying to figure out points and shit, and it just doesn't work because everything skips together, and so we're just gonna talk about the storylines. This is a good plan because it's just a fun show, and we don't need craziness. Could I possibly say crazy again? All right. Maybe, but maybe later. All right. So moving on to the summary of the episode. Jen steps in as Carrie's talent manager when a law firm client asks her to moonlight as a deceased country singer, Colt Callahan, with misogynistic lyrics. That's one way to put it. Jizz Lord helps Cash audition wannabe vigilantes and tries to learn how to be human. How did you like this one, Penny?
I loved this episode. I felt like it had a lot of physical humor, more than the verbal wittiness of the first two episodes. But I mean, Rossler? I think it's Rossler. His performance as Jizz Lord, the human, is just so funny. He moves like a cat. He's so twitchy and hesitant, and his eyes are the same size as the rest of his head. They're huge. I find him really fun to watch.
I would agree. Jizz Lord was probably my favorite character this episode, and you're right, his movements, I didn't think about it that way, but I mean, obviously, he's doing things like a cat, and then in the tag, he was, he was microchipped, apparently.
Okay, his name is not whatever I said. It's Luke Rollison.
Rollison?
Rollison.
Rollison. All right, Rollison. All right, Luke, if you're listening, which you're probably not because you are being paid to be an actor and not listen to podcasts.
And they're starting to film Season 2.
Ooh, excellent. Luke, we are very happy with your performance in episode 3. And honestly, just in general.
Yeah, he's been a real star.
You should shave your butt. Yeah, shave your butt. Other than that, that's all I have. The only feedback I have.
He seems so sweet. Those
are my only notes.
Yeah.
Even in interviews, he seems really sweet. Mm-hmm. All right, so moving on to our first storyline. The first storyline, in general, I'm just gonna say major storyline is gonna be Carrie and Colt Callahan.
Yeah.
Carrie and Colt Callahan. What do you have to say about Colt Callahan and Carrie, Penny?
I really feel for Carrie. I think she is someone who doesn't know her own value. She's treated like garbage at that law firm, right? Even though she has this ability that nobody else has, that is so valuable to the business that they do. They've somehow got her thinking she's like been cast aside or something. Did you notice where she was sitting and eating lunch? It's just like between two file cabinets.
Yeah, it wasn't like, even a break room.
That's literally her office. She had like a picture of her and Cash up and like a plant. I think that's her office.
Like, basically, they are undervaluing the fuck, not only of Carrie, but of Carrie's power.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't, you know, a plethora of people who can channel dead people, right? I feel like they are, I agree with you. I feel like they are completely undervaluing, I'm just going to go with her power initially.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said something about is it legal? I can do the legal stuff, you know, like I don't know what her qualifications are, but surely she's got something she can do that's better than sit in the hallway and look sad. I mean, she really is eager and she wants to be, a lawyer. I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently my guess is a junior associate, but it does feel like
the system is different. In England, you have to apprentice and then, like, you get a law degree and then you apprentice and then you can become either a barrister or I can't remember what the other word is, solicitor.
Right. Oh, yeah, solicitor.
And barristers are the ones who, like, wear the white wigs and go to court, and solicitors are all the other kinds of lawyers that there are. Right. So she's probably in an apprenticeship period, not a lawyer. So she's like some kind of, you know, assistant or something like that. Nobody cares.
Regardless, I mean, it's not that nobody cares. It's just like she's majorly being undervalued. And what Jen said earlier, like this, national treasure doesn't open her money pot, which I thought was a funny term to call her mouth. It doesn't open her money pot until, for less than 300. And I was like, that's a really good point. You should start charging that at your job. You should be like, hey, I get that you want me to be a lawyer, but I need some fucking money. Flat out.
Some fucking respect. You know, it's not just about money.
And respect.
They treat her like she's not even a whole person. And you know, she said a couple of times, she said, you know, I'm basically an appliance. And then today, in this episode, she said, they roll me out like I'm a photocopier. Like, it's hurting her soul. I mean, this adventure with Colt Callahan didn't end particularly well, but I hope that Carrie really draws some strength from it. She stood up for herself, even in the face of a lot of money.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. I was just very frustrated by the fact that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I probably would have done it. I was the Jen in this situation. I would not have held up for my morals. I would have said, are you sure you can't do it? Because £300,000 is a lot of money. I identified more with Jen in this particular situation, which doesn't make me feel good, but it's still the way that it is.
Well, Jen is a really good friend. I mean, Jen dropped what she was doing. Granted, it was steam cleaning a Margaret Thatcher costume.
That was so funny.
And she
didn't realize it until I was thinking about it a couple hours ago that she wore the Margaret Thatcher costume that she was cleaning.
Yeah.
To the out and about. And I was just like, oh, that's why she looked like Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah. And she got the idea. She's looking at the costume and she says to Carrie on the phone, like, you need a tough bitch or something like that, to negotiate for you. And then she's like, aha.
A hard ass. Yeah.
Yeah. But she showed up for Carrie. She just didn't have follow through. Like, she was out of the room getting her hot Latin massage.
That was pretty funny.
When Carrie kind of needed her, and she pushed her, but the money would have been really helpful for both of them. I don't know. And then in the end, Jen is really there for her. I don't think you should judge yourself too harshly if you identify with Jen. She's a good person, even if she thinks she might be a little racist.
I don't know if she is a good person. which makes me identify with her a little bit more, which is maybe worse.
Yeah, maybe good person is the wrong word. She's a normal person.
Yeah, I would say she is an average human. And yeah. If I can identify with being an average human, then if I feel a little bit above Jen, then maybe I'm pretty good. I really enjoyed that that entire storyline. I thought that Carrie, that specifically Sophia Oxenham, she was phenomenal as Colt.
I agree. Really, like, really sold that she was another person.
Like, even though it wasn't her body, like, she was amazing as channeling a completely different person. When she was feeling her tits, I was like, I couldn't even imagine a woman doing that to herself. Like, the blue eyes, like, it wasn't the blue eyes, it was the actions of the body, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was so good.
And her gestures were slower and wider. She took up more space as a person. Her body language was completely different. I like the way she sort of suddenly became very, like, mobile when she was singing, like a singer
right.
would.
Yeah.
You know, Carrie wouldn't do that, but Colt Callahan would. And
I can feel the music. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
up? And she sort of leaned over like she was an old guy with a guitar. She sold it so well. I was so impressed.
Yeah, it was very impressive. You know what we didn't do? We didn't do general impressions of this episode.
Oh.
We
also didn't do humiliation of the week, but.
To be fair, I couldn't find one.
This wasn't a very humiliating. The closest I came was Carrie's sad little office. I found that humiliating.
But I mean, like, there was no, like, no, we talked about it a little bit before, but, like, no gotcha moment.
Yeah.
No, like, oh, God, I can't believe I'm watching this.
Yeah, not like last time.
Last time was
humiliating. That was brutal.
What was your impression of this episode?
I really liked it. I am very frustrated by us going week to week because I really want to hit next every time I'm watching an episode. But I enjoy these characters more and more. I'm really, like, invested in Jen and Carrie right now. Cash, whatever. Baby man, maybe someday he'll grow up. But just Lord, I hope we get to find a new name for him soon, is adorable. Like, so, I so, like, want to help him learn how to human. He's like, he's so lost.
There's so much everything. It was like, and I get that. Like,
yeah.
I totally understand. I can totally appreciate that. Like, oh, I've been away for a long time and I'm back, and there's just so much everything. Like, I can totally appreciate that. It,
and
basically,
the woman,
you're
was
Captain America.
So compassionate.
She
oh my
was
god,
so
she was
nice.
So kind to him.
She was the best. She was the one person you want to run into if you have been a cat for 3 years.
Exactly.
And you
were
suddenly
yeah.
a human and sent to buy tampons. Like, yeah. She is the, like, you know what? Give her Employee of the Month, because she did everything she could for him, and he soaked it up.
He did. And, he seemed really actually joyful when he got back to the apartment, right? He had that huge, all those bags of tampons, and, like, he, you know, had a successful adventure in the real world.
And I learned where the clitoris was. I mean, hey, there were all sorts of high points to this.
The first time through, I missed that she gave him a brochure about the female body.
Female
I missed
body,
that part.
Yeah.
So I was like, how does he know where the clitoris is? And then when I saw it the second time, I was like, oh, it's all coming together.
He was absolutely my favorite part of this episode. Carrie or Sophia Oxenham's performance was my second, but Jizz Lord's story here was my favorite. Anyway, back to the general impressions. Like, this was not an episode that blew me away. I laughed when I was watching it. I enjoyed it. There were certain parts that I really liked, and I really felt like I was like, oh, this really, you know, I feel good about this. And then there was every scene with Cash that any Cash centric episode, I'm like basically pre-inclined not to, or I guess disinclined to enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, because he's such a knob. Like,
he's a feckless loser, as Jen said.
He's basically, yeah, exactly. He's everything that Jen said. And it was funny because like that entire thing was like basically everything that we said on the podcast about him.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, does he pay rent? No. Who mooches off his girlfriend? No, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it barely fucks her once a month. And why is she wasting your time or her time with you?
She's a person who undervalues herself, right? So, you know.
That's a good point.
Carrie has, like, all of a sudden I'm way more interested in Carrie's arc than I am in mm-hmm. Jen's arc, because I can understand, you know, when you're young, you don't know what you're worth. And, you know, Carrie thinks that Cash is, like, good enough for her. He's just not. And she thinks this job is good enough for her.
I feel like she's going to realize what she can do and what her value is, and that she's going to appreciate Cash because he loved her before the value. Like, and maybe I'm completely off, but like that seems like, and it'd be great if they subvert my expectations and, you know, do something different, but that's the way that it feels that it's going to go. And
Cash might have some growth as well. Like, he might figure out.
I hope stuff. So. Oh my God, do I hope so. Jesus. Like, good God, this guy is just, like, he's the worst.
He's not the worst, because he is a sweetheart. Okay, like, he's sweet. He's genuinely sweet. Like,
okay, he had Crook Masseur. Like, he had that.
That was really cute. But, like, he was willing to do all kinds of crazy shit to help Jen, right? Last week, he was all in. He dressed like a fucking terrorist. He was
gonna be an IRA member. Yeah.
And, like, he's cute. I get the attraction. I just hope that any young women out there will not support their feckless loser boyfriends. It's okay to be attracted to a, like, cutie pie who's aimless in life, but don't let him move in with you.
Yeah, don't let him move in with you, or make him pay rent, mm-hmm. Or make him get a job, or literally anything. I mean, don't get me wrong, Plan D, probably worth something, but yeah. So anyway, all right. So past our general. So yep. I actually watched this show and I was like, this was probably my least favorite episode, not because it less focused on Jen, but because I didn't have any of those like laugh out loud moments.
You didn't?
Well, I may have, but I don't remember them offhand. Maybe because I was looking for a humiliating moment of the week.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
But because the second time I absolutely was like, what am I looking for? What's that?
For me, there was one really big belly laugh moment.
And
it's when Jizz Lord says to Cash, well, you're going to have people here. I know you wanted some snacks, so here you go. And he drops a dead pigeon in his hands.
I thought of you when that happened. I was like, this is Penny.
Yeah. I'm like, yep, that's this a cat. Is Penny, that's what a cat would do.
Like,
yep. Look, I brought you a dead mouse.
I absolutely was like, oh, Penny will appreciate this.
Yeah. It killed me. And then Cash just like, ah! And then did you notice he just kicked it like under the couch or something?
Yeah,
like, he didn't actually get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's going to smell really bad really fast.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
And how did Jizz Lord catch the pigeon? We don't know. Like, did he go outside and like grab it with his hands? Like, I really want to know.
Break his neck and then, all right, here you go. But yeah, so... all right, so the rest of Carrie's storyline is that we realize that they're going to pay her £300,000.
That's a lot of money.
£300,000. That's a lot of money. That's probably about $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe a little bit less than that, maybe like $350,000. But It's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
To compromise your morals. And there was some really, really funny episodes. Like, the lyrics that they change.
It was so funny.
Like, I was like, oh, yeah, we're in the back of my truck, and then we were about to have consensual sex. Wait, what? Oh, all right. Well, I guess we'll keep going then. And the last line, the one that broke the camel's back. And then I licked her out.
Like, what?
What? No. No, I'm not licking her out. That's
nasty.
Maggie, you know, you changed my lyrics. I didn't write this. You know, Maggie, I love you, but that's nasty. I wouldn't lick you out. I feel like they could have been a little bit more creative in the words to make them at least rhyme.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I mean, the reaction, and again, Carrie's, like, Sophia Oxum's performance was phenomenal.
She's so good.
And like, maybe it's just the blue eyes. When the blue eyes turn on, right?
Yeah. And
she's amazing. And then Jen's like, oh, it's not too bad. We can salvage it.
I think there's a market.
Yeah, there's a market. Jen was not the focus of this episode, and I think that's why we didn't have like more humiliating moments.
Yeah. But
that scene in particular, where she's like, "Oh, we don't have a miniature horse available. Well, then you will arrive with a regular sized horse, or we walk."
Oh yeah, and that we get to look at through the wrong end of a telescope.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was like, well, you will bring that or we walk.
I really wanted to see the writer that she wrote out by hand and was so neat. I'm like, my handwriting wouldn't look that good.
I mean, I figure if you were like making an effort, I imagine you could write it out pretty nicely. But
I've tried to make things look nice in writing and never make it to the end of the page. It's always like, blah, 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 blah. Humorously enough, though, when I was in high school, I was the person who filled out all the like certificates and everything for my church because I could sort of do calligraphy, but it was like fake calligraphy, but it was good enough for that.
It was like cursive?
No, it was like fancy printing.
Oh, gotcha.
But I don't have that neatness in me anymore.
I get that. So, and I don't mean to pass over that, but so Carrie, you know, Carrie ends up not taking the money and going away and walking away, and Jen's like, "Oh no, I should say that I'm proud of you for standing up for what you believe in." Oh God, you're not going to say it? No, I'm not. And she's like, "Well, we could have had 300." It causes me physical pain when you say the words. So don't say it. Don't say the
amount. Yeah. I can understand that. It's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, that is a lot of money, especially for people who are probably paying somewhere in the range of like 700 to 1,000 pounds a month in rent.
Yeah.
For a flat in London. And like, that's like 3 years worth of. Nope.
30.
That's like 30 years worth of rent.
Yeah.
I could buy a flat. I could buy a holiday. I could go on holiday.
Yeah. It's so sad, but I remember being that broke where it was like, my big vacations were taking the Peter Pan bus to New York City for the weekend and staying on friends' couches. Like, the cheapest vacation in the world.
Like, I mean, to me, that sounds awesome. Like,
I mean, I had a lot of fun, but it's not the same as going to like Club Med or Europe or something.
Right. That's very true. All right, go ahead.
What was I going to say about the changing the lyrics and the money? Oh, I wanted to go back to Jen's handwritten tech writer and the business card. I really enjoyed that whole interchange about, she's like, "Oh, we do the personal, we have a personal touch." She's like quick on her feet, Jen. I really respect that.
She is very much, she does have a quick wit about her, and I think that's one of the things that appeals to me, even if it's not necessarily the best, like the best excuse or the best reason or whatever. Like, she has something And then she stands by it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, however ridiculous it may be, this was my idea. I've said it, and here it is.
Yeah, she commits.
Yeah. All right, so I think, and I mean, we'll cover, you know, the extra stuff that we missed in notes, but all right, so now we get to my least favorite storyline, Cash.
I know.
And his group of vigilantes.
This I'd say was a least favorite. Pretty like, there good were some, sequence. Come on.
There were, but Cash specifically just irritates the shit out of me. And I think it's because I like Carrie so much.
Mm-hmm.
Cash is collecting all of these, you know, he's interviewing people for their superpowers or powers, because some of them are not necessarily super. so the ones that we see are, you know, someone can summon sea creatures. They can't do anything, but he can summon them. You can phase through solid objects.
Sort of.
You can turn... you can phase into them, not necessarily phase out. You can turn anything into a PDF. I didn't quite get that. Like a refrigerator? Anything. Like a person? Anything. And he's like... I'm like, did you change people into PDFs? Are you
a serial psycho? Killer? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Cash is like, how did you get in the flat?
Yeah.
When he walked in the room, I noticed on second watch, Gizlord immediately contracted all of his limbs into like a little cluster. He was afraid of PDF guy immediately. It was great. Good instincts.
PDF guy was pretty creepy anyway. Like, yeah. He's just like looking around like very creepily. No thanks, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it. But you have Magnet Girl. You have Laser Eyes, which was a funny little cat sequence.
Yeah, I enjoyed that immensely. You have
3D printer ass and super speed. So we only saw these seven, and four of them made it in. But the only ones who didn't were PDF guy, who was a creep, Magnet Girl, and Laser Eyes. And I could have used with a little bit of diversity in this super, like Magnet Girl. You know what? Maybe you say, hey, you know, we'll give you a shot and see what use you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just guess who would have known where the clitoris was?
Yeah, Magnet Girl.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you've got a bunch of guys who aren't getting laid and don't know anything about the human body, or excuse me, the female body. And I feel like she would have provided some pretty decent, I thought it was really misogynistic of Cash to not at least include one woman in that group.
She was the one out of all of them that had her life the most together. You could just tell by the look of her. I think Cash didn't want anybody else to be in charge. This is his thing. And he could tell, like, she wasn't going to put up with his fucking nonsense. So he could only recruit other feckless losers to this dumb group.
That's actually a really good point. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get it. Her power wasn't necessarily, like, overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the only real, quote-unquote, superpower here would have been the super speed guy. And man, that guy was a douche.
Yeah, he's... Now he's the worst.
Yeah. The fact that Cash feels he needs to... Yeah, I don't think we did. The fact that Cash feels he needs to compete with him.
Mm-hmm.
I literally have a note that just says, Cash sucks. and then meeting. And I'm assuming that was meeting of the vigilantes. But
Who immediately descended into chaos, arguing about... who they were going to save and who they were going to fight against.
Yeah. And children versus, I really did not understand what was going on. Children versus nonces. I was like, they're like, well, wouldn't we be protecting the children from the nonces? Well, if we have to choose one, I'm like, I don't understand what this chart is now.
I think it was like a bracket, you know, standard bracketed competition, but one side was who they fight against and the other side was who they fight for. But then children and nonces shouldn't be on the same side.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, and nonces are like pedos, right? They're like pedophiles.
I don't know. I didn't. Oh, I should.
Maybe
they're. Up.
Maybe it's gay people. I don't know. Maybe that's.
Oh okay. No, they can't be homophobic on this show. It's too progressive. That would really upset me. Let's Google nonce.
Wait, what do you mean? What's progressive? I mean,
the show is so good.
Oh, the show is progressive. Okay, got it. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's cash.
Oh yeah, so, sexual like, offender, rapist, or child molester. So you were
okay?
Right.
All right. So okay. All right. So yeah, that I mean, that's what because like the nonces would be after the children.
After the children.
So we're protecting. They shouldn't be fighting each other. But I don't know why you would be. Maybe that's where it was. It was like maybe in the same side, like in the same bracket level. Like it'd be like up here is like. The top is like people were defending, and then the bottom is people were fighting. But then it doesn't really make sense. Yeah, like I said, I didn't really understand the brackets, and I didn't pause it to go back
either.
To write down what they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we start with the interviews, and we see all of the people, and then we get to all the feckless losers that he. I mean, and then we get to the. The what if they're very grateful that we escorted them across the street or escorted them home? Oh, we're talking about them fucking us, right? No, no, no. We do not have sex with people we protect. Well, what if they wanted to give us some money? Oh, that's just tipping. That's fine. Wait, what is going on?
He's defining an ethics of vigilantism. I appreciate it. It's good to know where the line is because I think some of those dudes were already across it. Like Seb really was hoping to meet some cute girls and have sex with them this way.
Oh god, like I mean, I guess maybe you could 3D print a giant dildo and that would give them more than you've got. I don't know. Like
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out how to make that guy more not shitty, but I mean, he wasn't nearly as creepy as Super Speed Guy was.
Yeah.
Or PDF Guy. PDF Guy, I think you're right. I think he's just a serial killer. But yeah, so I did think that the whole I did laugh during as a, you know, mid-40s male who knows where the clitoris is. I did think it was really funny to watch some people in the early 20s arguing over, and by people I mean feckless losers, arguing over that they know more about the, you know, female anatomy than the other.
Oh my god.
Or that one, I have four sisters, I have a mother, so do I. I have a girlfriend, do you? I win 3-2.
I was like, what?
Why is this a competition? What is going on?
And no, you don't. You don't win. Neither of you win.
At this point, no one wins cash because you are cash.
All of you are losers. The whole room full of losers.
You know who wins? Jizzlord. Yeah. Jizzlord wins.
Jizzlord is the sweetest.
Yeah, so then the fact that, oh, it's right here. Giant, right there. That's what I was going to say. Yep. Giant circle. And then.
Did you notice that the second marker, the one that Ars printer guy pooped out, it was wrapped in a bunch of toilet paper and they were holding it by the toilet paper?
I didn't notice that. I didn't realize that he actually produced one.
Because at first they only had
really
a black
funny.
Marker. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they had the red one. I did. You know what? I don't think I figured that out. I don't think I recognized that. But that's a really good point. I mean, I guess they had to get the red one to make the red. You know what? Thank you. That was an excellent callback to like 3 minutes extra before in the episode.
Yeah, with the little army guy.
Which, yeah.
Why? Why was that what they chose?
Yeah. I thought he said it had to be aerodynamic.
Yeah.
That was not aerodynamic at all.
No. Mm-mm.
But anyway. All right. So now moving on to the last storyline. And by the last storyline, I mean the one that I care about the most. Jizzlord.
Yeah.
So I did think that some of the lines in the cold open were pretty funny. where he's trying to open the can with the can opener, and Carrie's like, should we help him? Oh, thumbs are hard. give him a little, let's see what happens.
And how he tried to sneak up on the can the way a cat would. Like,
it was a very cat-like, a very cat-esque cold open. And then Cash is like, it's broken. And both Carrie and Jen are like, okay.
Well, I thought the look on Carrie's face was like, yes, honey, it was broken. And Jen's was more like,
Jen was like, give me a break. Man, you are horrible.
Such a loser. Yeah.
So that's, and then we have him, Jizz Lord kind of tagging along with Cash for his interviews. And obviously, laser eyes and him chasing the laser was very funny. And then his trip to the chemist was, basically, it's imagine if you have been inside for years and then you have to go out and identify things that you don't remember being there. Oh, wait, all of us have because we went through the pandemic.
Yeah.
But we had some sort of memory about it beforehand. Like, when we went out for the first time and we actually, were exposed to all of these things that are, the first time I went to go buy tampons for my wife, because it wasn't for my girlfriend, it was for my wife, I was like, man, there are a lot of choices here.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. It's not like one brand and then, light flow, medium flow, heavy flow, whatever. It's like all the choices, period. Yeah. And I'm sure that young preteen or teen girls that go through this for the first time need for someone to help them, because you can't just go figure this out on your own. Penny, you would have a better idea than I would. You need help for this.
It's overwhelming enough. Putting aside the choice of product, just the whole experience is very overwhelming and weird. You're like, this is going to happen to my body, for the rest of my life. Like, it's so weird.
I can totally appreciate that. I can't empathize because I have no idea how that feels, but I can appreciate it.
It is really fucking weird. I had a good friend in college who spent her semester abroad in Nepal. And when she came back, she came back to campus and there was still a few weeks left in the semester. And so she was just hanging out in the dorms with all of us. And we went to the grocery store and she had a full panic attack. Just the number of things to buy, the variety of it, the shininess of all of it, the sort of sterility of an American grocery store. She could not handle it. She was freaking out.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was really amazing. And I've had that experience too when I've been in Europe and then I come back to the US and I go first. It's the grocery store and Target are the worst. You walk into those places and it's like, nobody needs all this shit. It's, oh my God. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, again. I am an American through and through, so I am used to excess, but I can see how that would be definitely disorienting. And especially my dad spent a number of years in Russia working overseas, and he would talk about the meals that they had, and it would be a chicken would feed a family for, you would provide protein for 3 days.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could probably eat an entire chicken by myself and be some potatoes. That'd probably go pretty well with this. And he'd be like, oh no, they had plenty of potatoes, but not really. But they had to go pick up their meat from the market. I'm like, wow. You only get this amount of meat per family. And it's like, holy shit. It makes me, one, appreciate what I have, and two, go, wow, are we not doing anything to help these people? Or, I mean, I guess we can't necessarily, but it's just, it's very, very kind of mind-blowing as to, like, the lack of availability of those items in places that are not our gluttonous America.
Yeah, it's amazing to me the difference in living standards in different parts of the world. And also the amount of plastic that Americans use every day. It's just disgusting. All right, this is a happy podcast. We're going to talk about happy stuff. Oh,
all right, happy things. Happy all right, things. Yeah, anyway, moving on. So yeah, Jizz Lord is very funny. And she was, he was probably the highlight of my episode outside of Carrie. Specifically, yeah. Sophia's performance, because Carrie was a little bit sad, but the performance was phenomenal.
Yeah, I loved her as Colt Callahan. I was just so impressed. I kept rewinding it and being like, look at how she's changed her shoulder placement. And like just, oh, it was great.
It makes me wonder if like there was directing or there was like training or if she's just really like she's well trained in that, or if like, you know, if you go do martial arts on a film, like you go get a number of months of training in order to accomplish it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if she's just like, oh, like for this character, you need to completely change your posture, or you can need to completely change your point of view or whatever, because, and you have to do it several times for every character.
It must have been part of the audition process, right? They must have been like, this character channels other personalities. And so she probably prepared a couple. If I were going to try to like pretend to be a dead country star, I would watch videos of like, you know, country stars and mimic them until I came up. You know, I would try like, you know, well, this is how Johnny Cash holds his guitar, and this is how Willie Nelson holds his guitar, and this is how this person moves when they're singing, and then just sort of construct something. That's how an actor would go about putting together a performance. It's just incredibly impressive because she presents as Carrie as this like meek, you know, sweet girl, and then she has this ability within her to be these other personas. It's cool. The contrast is what makes it so good.
Speaking of dead country stars, the Valerie that she was initially channeling, yeah. Like, oh, what's Whitney Houston up to these days? And I was like, that's really funny. And
then we don't have two Carries face. For you to have a duet with.
Yeah, that's exactly. I thought that was a really, really fun introduction to Carrie this episode.
Yeah. Something about in that scene, something about her, she was like taller than she usually is.
Like she was very straight backed. Yeah, so Valerie, like, I feel like was very haughty,
yeah.
And you know, very much full of herself. I sold out this place 5 nights in a row, and yeah. You know, again, just very, very the breadth of acting, and I noticed it more in the second, because I basically just get, the first time I watch it, I just literally just get absorbed into whatever the characters are doing.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, except for Cash, then I check my phone. Then, but other than that, I'm really just like, oh, what are they doing now? But okay, so I think that's all the storylines that we really had.
I wanted to just bring up, there's the scene where Jen has just insulted the customer by correctly implying that she has been pegging her husband while dressed as Margaret Thatcher. And she has that meeting with the manager, and the manager's like, you can't imply that a customer is, you know, pegging her husband as Margaret Thatcher. And Jen's like, of course she is. And Angela's like, of course she is, but you can't say it. And then she says, you know, Jen, I'm not sure you're cut out for customer service, but you're cut out to be a manager. You have just the right amount of hatred of other people. You never miss a fag break just enough. And you can have my job when I die. And I flash back to so many times in my life that I've been at some shit job that I could not wait to get out of, and had somebody tell me that I really had what it took to maybe in 5 or 10 years be a manager at that job. And I was like, I have to get the fuck out of here. It's like the most depressing thing you can hear is for somebody to be like, you know, you fit in really well with us here at Loser Inc. Like, no, it's a temp job. Ah, like, oh my God. I've never left places so fast as with some, when they've told me I fit in.
So I thank you for reminding me, but the actress who plays Angela was amazing. Like, maybe not as good as Carrie, but amazing. Like, she sold being an... She acted exactly as a mid-50s woman, you know, divorcee who is a manager of a shop would. And, like, the... For a young girl to be saying those lines with the conviction of a middle-aged woman, like, I was like, that is so impressive, and I hope that we see this young girl again, because she is amazing.
Yeah, she is really selling it. Like, I fully believe she's in her 50s and a smoker. Yep. Like, fully. And that she's...
I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, maybe, like, a 12-year-old, 13-year-old girl is holding a cigarette.
Like, constantly. She always has it.
Yeah.
And she's wearing those huge, tacky-ass earrings, and, like, oh, she's so funny. Every character on the show, really, is funny. Even the loser brigade that auditioned for Cash, like, that guy Seb, the look on his face when he was summoning the fish from the ocean... And that they were all waiting for her for so long was so funny. And the fact that he just, like, broke their window with, like, doesn't give a fuck. And then they didn't seem to give a fuck about that either.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No one really cared. I mean, Carrie's going to pay for it. So, you know, yeah, whatever.
Ugh. yeah, they're just... I wonder if, like, Emma Moran knows all these people. And she was like, does she write characters for specific actors? Like, I don't know any of the behind the scenes stuff at all about this show.
Yeah. So that reminds me of Can't Hardly Wait, because, like, I watched the movie Can't Hardly Wait. It came out in 1998.
It's a funny movie.
That was a year after I graduated from high school. And I was like, literally all of these people could be people that I knew in high school. If I had had the idea to write a movie about a senior year of high school, these are the people I would have stereotypically written about. And it was, I mean, I was just like, man, this is, and I could totally see, oh, there's the, you know, the undervalued best friend, and there's the self-centered main character, and there's the loser boyfriend, and there's the manager who just is just encouraging you to do what you do because, you know, we want you to feel included. And I could totally see where, like, every one of these people, and all you have to do is add a power to them.
Yeah.
And it can be a bullshit power and it doesn't matter.
In fact, the worse, the better.
Yeah. The more pointless, the better. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's all pretty fantastic. I noticed, oh, well, I guess this is more of a note.
Note away.
All right. When Carrie is outside, and I can't remember now if she was taking a smoke break or just taking a break. I don't remember her smoking, so I think she was just taking a break. There was a sticker on the wall behind her that said, powers aren't real. And I was thinking back to last week, the posters that said, you know, stop mind trespassing, and... I feel like there's a building, something in the background that we're going to encounter later about this, like, anti-power movement or something like that.
I hope so. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong, we're only 3 episodes in, but, I mean, out of 8, like, we're almost halfway through, and I would love for there to be something kind of overarching. Like, Jen's story didn't really continue.
Mm-hmm.
It was just... I mean, she did say, hey, I'm saving up for the clinic because, you know, my last week's DIY didn't really work very well. but other than that, it's like, this is just kind of almost like a day in the life.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. There's the loser brigade. But other than that, this is just, this is, And that was kind of my initial impression of the episode. Just kind of like, okay, you know, things happened and we're just kind of witnessing the way life is. And that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Not every episode has to move the one big plot forward.
Right.
And Jen may never get a power, right?
I really hope that, like, on the final episode, she gets a power. And maybe it's not... I can't figure out if I want it to be amazing or
lame.
Like, or lame. Yeah. I can't figure out what I want because I'm really looking forward to the rest of this.
Yeah. The show is really fun. In Carrie's sad little not in office, there were signs on the wall that said, electronic powers will short circuit the fuse. Please use manually. Thank you. And notice, power-related injury in the workplace is the responsibility of the employee. It's just exactly the kind of thing you would see up in an office, like, you know, don't use your power to microwave fish in the office microwave or whatever.
Sharing. Why would you do that?
It's a notorious problem in offices that somebody will, like, make something smelly and then everyone else has to live with it. In their workspace.
I understand. I still don't understand why you would do that. It's You're gross. Like, I know that this smells disgusting.
But, sometimes you own yourself and you throw your sushi trash in the trash in your own office. And then you go to a meeting and you come back and it smells really bad. And then you have to deal with it.
Immediately remove it.
Yeah. It's pretty gross. The worst, though, is burnt popcorn. Burnt popcorn in the microwave, like the entire building smells bad for days. But anyway, yeah, the notices just cracked me up because I've seen so many like of those like printed signs up in offices that are like, this printer jams if you use legal size paper in it. Don't use legal size paper. Like, you know, whoever keeps stealing my ranch dressing, I put, you know, something gross in it or something like that. Dumb notes, passive aggressive notes. There's actually a whole website, passiveaggressivenotes.com, that's just all examples of notes that are like, you know, to the person who keeps stealing my yogurt or whatever. So yeah, that was the only stuff I noticed in the background that I thought was really funny. Oh, the store next door to where they live, to their flat, it's like a pawn shop or something. And underneath the name, which was something unremarkable, it says Cash and Carry. And I was like, oh, that's their names. Like,
oh,
Cash and
like
Carry.
Like C-A-S-H and C-A-R-R-Y?
Yeah. Like, I think it's a pawn shop. So it's like Cash and Carry.
Oh, it's like the pawn shop. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, but that's their names.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, I thought it was cute.
That is cute. All right, you have any notes? Any other notes?
We talked about Jizzlord being microchipped, right? that's so exciting. I can't wait to see what his microchip reveals. And the pigeon thing. I just want to say the line that Jizzlord says to Cash. Jen says, you're doing it because you're a feckless loser who sponges off his girlfriends. And this nostalgic imitation of virility gives you the illusion of control over your emasculated, directionless existence. But I don't really know what any of that means.
Is it good?
And then he sits down and Cash sits down and has his arms in a particular way. And Jizzlord, like, picks up a pen and imitates him. It's just this really subtle body humor.
That was really good. Yeah, I keep flashing back to Carrie feeling herself up.
Oh my god.
Just laughing so hard.
Oh my god, and Jen taping something on her hands and calling them shame mitts. <Yeah. laughs>
The shame mitts will come off when you stop grabbing things.
Oh my god.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, I enjoy it. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Actually, I do want to mention the tampon game at the end,
which
I did think it was cute.
Really creative.
The fact that they came in. Yes. it was his idea. I love it. It was my idea. Fuck you, Cash. Eat a giant dick. All right. You have anything else for now?
Well, just at the end of that scene, the closing song comes on, and the main lyric is, "All I want in life is a little bit of love to take the pain away." And I just feel like that's a applicable lyric to most people.
Yeah, that's fair. Speaking of song lyrics, I did, I went to school and I got the big D.
Yeah, that was a good one too. Like,
all right.
Yeah, the music on this show is fantastic. I got to look and see if there's like a playlist or something. I don't usually use Spotify, but I'll look for one.
Yeah, a lot of the songs are very much like spoken word songs.
Yeah.
As opposed to singing. And I'm digging it.
Yeah, really enjoying the soundtrack. Oh, and the clothes. Some more great outfits this episode. Not just the Margaret Thatcher costume, but Carrie was wearing like a rust-colored corduroy suit.
Yeah.
And she looked hot. I thought she looked like some kind of like 70s, like hippie Janis Joplin singer chick. Yeah. Very cool.
All right. Well, stay with us. There's more to come. We'll be right back. Welcome back. So now we are moving into extraordinary news. Penny?
This show is really hard to Google because the word extraordinary is everywhere. And also most of the articles are really spoilery. But I found one that the first part of it wasn't spoilery, so I've input that here. It's on Mashable. It was put up on February 2nd. If anybody wants to go read the rest of the article, they're not worried about being spoiled. Title, "The best bit of extraordinary is that everyone's kind of crap at being superpowered. People suck at flying and managing super strength, and we love it." By Shannon Connellan. So you've got superpowers. You can walk through walls. Trouble is, your butt's still stuck on the other side, and you're not wearing any underwear. Created by Emma Moran, Extraordinary shares a narrative setup with Disney's Encanto, but on a global, cynical, grown-up scale. When people turn 18 in this reality, they receive a superpower. Oftentimes, it's hereditary, meaning you might get the same power as one of your parents, but it can also be random. Alas, our protagonist, Mirabelle, Jen, played by Mairéad Tyers, hasn't discovered her power yet, despite 7 years of trying. However, she's not the only one having trouble. The superpowered around her seem to be quite crap at figuring out their abilities, too. As Mashable's Caitlin Welsh writes in her review, the powers in this world aren't a grand metaphor, just another thing people have to deal with now. They're a gift for some people, a burden for others, and a complicated cocktail of both for most. In the same way, in real life, superpowers like being incredibly smart or conventionally attractive or super tall can be. And it's this level of flawed humanity that makes this unconventional superhero show truly extraordinary. Classic superpowers like flying, super strength, telekinesis, and time bending are covered in the series, but there's also some more niche, inconvenient powers in the mix. But the trouble is, unlike Encanto's family Madrigal, who are instantly able to have deep conversations with all animals, make perfect flowers bloom, and lift a heap of unexpected donkeys upon receiving their powers, in Extraordinary, most people seem to be quite rubbish at using their superpowers, and it is gloriously human. And then the next paragraph started to be super spoilery, so I didn't paste it into the agenda.
that basically sums up our last couple of hours of podcast. So yes, it is very Encanto-ish, and very adult, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I couldn't love it more. It's really funny.
Now we're moving into our listener feedback section. Thank you for everybody who posted some stuff. So Steve Barr, does everyone else wonder if we're supposed to read the title as Extraordinary, referring to Jen and her situation of not having a power when everyone else does? That's a good point. You might have noticed that I capitalized ordinary, but it's still one word.
Mm-hmm.
In the podcast. But that's a good point, Steve.
I had not thought
about that, but yeah. When you're typing out extraordinary or extraordinary, I don't really know where you cut it off, but that's a good point.
I say it as extraordinary in my head all the time. Mm-hmm. And when the show first came out, I actually thought it was extraordinary. Like, I thought ordinary was going to be capitalized. But maybe that's because I first heard about the show from you, Greg.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't care.
I love it. I think it's like that show Transparent. It's meant to have multiple meanings, and that's the humor of it.
Right. And then we have a voicemail from our good friend Steve Brown. Hit it.
Hello, the extraordinary cast. I now have a name for your podcast. This is Steve, and this is going to be for episode 3. Thumbs are tricky. We have established this guy was a guy first, and then he was a cat, right? Not a cat that became a guy. I'm a Christian. I'm going to let the only one who made a comeback is Jesus. I'm going to let that slide and just move on. Wow, cat guy, you can copy and mimic people, but you don't understand what they're saying. Got it. Now you have a broken window. You guys got a rich father, but hey, all these auditions were great, just like in Deadpool. Ooh. Carrie talks about herself in third person. Steve sometimes talks about himself in the third person. You didn't realize he was talking in 300,000 pounds. Did he just kick a dead fish or a dead bird under a couch? That's going to come back to stink later. Just a general thought here. I have Hulu with no commercials, so it's disturbing when the screen goes black and it just comes right back to the same scene. The ethical line in the sand is sex, but it's okay for tips. Not respectful to women or Canadians. Oh, she's going to make changes to the lyrics. He's going to realize it while he's singing, I'm sure. Of course, the cat knows where the clitoris is. Okay, so the closed captioning calls the guy who's the cat Jizz Lord. Oh, is he microchipped? Talk to you later.
Thanks, Steve. I call the cat Jizz Lord. Cat person, man. Man, not
yeah,
a cat.
Yeah, I mean, that's his name.
And they did say last week that he had memories before he was a cat that were human memories, but just not...
Yeah, he was definitely a human and then a cat.
Yeah, because there was child prison and then sad but money.
It still cracks me up.
He is maybe my favorite character. It's hard to pick.
Carrie or Jizz Lord, those are my top two.
They're fantastic.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
And if you'd like to get in touch or find out more about Podcastica, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
.com. Excellent. You can write in or record a voice message right there on podcastica.com or find links to our social media pages and other shows. We have now put up on facebook.com/podcastica. We've put up a response post for all of the episodes, so if you are watching them, you can go type some crap in, not crap, some of your opinions in, and then we'll read them on the podcast, and it'll be fun.
Maybe send in your suggestions for the dumbest powers. I don't know. I'd like to hear what you guys think of. Some of the other shows on Podcastica right now, there's The Cast of Us, which is covering The Last of Us. A show I am loving. How about you, Greg?
Oh, it is so good.
It's really good. And I'm covering Poker Face, which is a mystery show on Peacock. And Strange Indeed is back.
Strange Indeed's about... Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. With You, season 4, that came out literally today. Which maybe I should watch that. And I've watched the first 3 seasons. But maybe I should watch it and give some feedback. That was a while creepy... an enjoyable diversion.
Yeah, it's a really interesting show. If you like what we're doing, hit follow and subscribe. It really helps other listeners to find us. It moves us up in the search results. We also love ratings and reviews. I love reading the reviews. And don't hold back if you have some ideas or criticism for us. Just drop us a line.
Yeah, write a review, please. Like, if I say like too much, which by the way I do, like this, like I just did. Excellent. If I say that a lot, you can go ahead and comment on that, and I will work on it, or I won't, but at least I'll know that you guys recognize it. And next time on this show, we'll be covering season 1, episode 4, Pet Project. And Penny, if you were able to, you know, earn 300,000 pounds in a day, what would you buy?
Oh, Greg, I could buy tender stem broccoli. It's so much more tender.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.